All right, time to look through the window of baseball, and we do it for Truden White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. We bring in the leading baseball historian in the Bay Area, a great guy, and that is from the Chronicle, Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, how are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Good. What you guys up to today?
Well, we're going to watch Johnny Vandermeer's uncle, Chris Heston, throw another no-hitter.
Hey, why not, huh? That would be it'd be great just to see him, you know, get it in play a little bit, like top of the, you know, seventh inning, and oh my God, that'd be great. But I mean, put me down for a single up the middle by somebody in the fourth.
Okay.
All right. I said the fourth. Joe Gazzardi here said the fourth as well.
Oh, is that right? Well,
so you said the fourth. I'm going just to be different. I'll say the fifth.
Now you're down for two innings. You might as well throw in a third one later in the show.
Well, we do that. You know, it's my show, Johnny.
The whole point is to be right, Bruce. You just want to be right. That's the key.
Someone said, interesting, a comment this morning. I thought out to Pat and to Bruce that, you know, we talk about baseball unfolding slowly, and it's such a story. We never know where it's going to end, and it's such a unique sport, and everything's unique about it. And the person sent on Facebook, he said, everything in life is like that. You don't know where anything is going. And you can't predict anything, but why do we think we can actually predict baseball? And there's some connection where you actually think we can do it.
Well, it is a lot like life, but I mean, I think it's more unpredictable than a lot of sports. I mean, if you get a real lopsided matchup in the NFL, you know, chances are that's how it's going to turn out. And a dominant basketball team over a sort of an all-star round, but in baseball, a lot of really crazy things can happen. You can have one guy who's just out of his mind, you know, pitching out of his mind, or a guy who can't get him out. And I mean, you could talk all day about some of the crazy things that have happened in baseball, just completely improbable. I wouldn't, you know, try to render it ordinary in that regard. I think it's very special in its unpredictability.
What do you say, Pat?
Well, to me, I mean, there's kind of the unspoken law. It's almost obvious that we know we can't predict it to 100%, but that's part of the fun of being a sports fan, is to try and do the analysis and work it up and see how close you can get to the future and how closely you can predict it.
So you don't you don't sit around at home saying, all right, let's predict where we're going to be in 2 years.
No.
And have arguments about it and call up people on the radio and talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading a couple pieces. Well, how about Bryce Harper and the Yankees in 2018? How does that look? Well, for God's sake, that's how can you be talking about that now?
Right.
But I mean, just what's going on with the Giants right now, to come off a good road trip and to think that, you know, they would extend their home losing streak to seven games, nobody predicts that. I don't think. I mean,
no. Where does it end? I mean, again, you're right. The pitching matchup yesterday looked favorable for the Giants, and today it looks favorable again.
Yep.
So, what can we
say? Well, now, guys, it's not just sports, but we try to predict the weather. We try to predict who's going to be the nominee for which political party. That's just part of being cognitive human beings, and we try to stretch our brains. And so, I love trying to predict what's going to happen in a sporting event, knowing that I'm probably going to get it wrong.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I always said sports writing is I'm in the wrong business.
We had a discussion this morning, Ron Wotus and I did, about something like Steve Kerr. He's playing coy again today about the starting lineup. I'm not going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start Ezeli today. You know, who knows what he's going to do. But baseball doesn't do that. I brought up the old Howard Emke story, Bruce, you know, from 1929 World Series, where Connie Mack warmed him up under the stands, and he threw him out there and set a lefty Grove, and he set a World Series record for strikeouts. But baseball doesn't hide the ball. You generally know who's going to be there, who the pitcher is. And can you imagine if baseball did this the way Kerr is playing around?
Yeah, well, it's very, very bad form to change your scheduled starter. You know, that's just a big deal about preparation. You know, teams see who they're going to face, the three or four pitchers, and they, you know, they study it accordingly. Because, I think there's certain aspects of baseball preparation that are unique to the sport, because it really is. You talk about every batter on the team is a different. It's all, so many one-on-one confrontations, pitcher and batter. And you can change it due to injury, but it's very bad form to just lie about it. You know?
What do you think about Kerr doing it?
Oh, absolutely. I think in basketball, I can remember some instances in the past where, you know, all of a sudden you got a shakeup. It's a different deal, and it's okay. I mean, Kerr's been around a long time. He didn't break any code there, as far as I'm concerned. Last minute lineup changes, it's not terribly common, especially in the finals. But to me, it's always a fair game.
Which sport do they do that the most in, Bruce? Is it football? Would it be hockey? Where they try and they hold out on the truth before a game?
Well, I mean, you can do it in football, and you know, at certain positions, and some people aren't even going to notice.
Right.
You know, you're not going to see it at quarterback or running back, unless you've been hiding an injury.
Sure.
But I think I don't think it happens a lot in
any of them.
In any of them, really.
Right.
It's kind of rare, but
yep.
There are times like Steve Kerr said, if I tell you guys now, I might as well be knocking on David Blatt's door, going, "Hey, by the way, we're going to really shake it up tonight, and here's how we're going to do it."
Well, and that's sort of more a choreographed kind of game,
yeah.
Where you know you have to have that dance going on between your starting five. There's only five,
yeah.
But baseball, you know, you've got the pitcher and everybody else, and they sort of know where they stand. But baseball does fool around the lineup a little bit. But you do know it well in advance. It's not like you get the lineup, all of a sudden the umpire gets the lineup, and, you know, you got Maxwell leading off and Aoki hitting eighth.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't happen. But basketball, it's more of a choreographed kind of dance for
yeah.
me.
Yeah, and that's why I think it doesn't bother me in that context when it does happen. And it's interesting that it's happening now. It's a big national conversation. I think some people are up in arms about the ethics of it, but it doesn't bother me at all, that's for sure.
Bruce Jenkins from the Chronicle. Hey, I was watching the sports reporters this morning, and the legendary Bob Ryan had a stat that on 2 days rest, the Cavaliers this year are 15-0. So, what do you see for tonight?
Well, this is a terrific thing for LeBron James. Uh-huh. It really is. I mean, I would expect him to do great things if he had no days rest, but I mean, he really looked a little fatigued after the last game. He was in there after midnight for the interviews, and he got hit in the head and everything else. So this is it's a daunting thing for the Warriors to realize he's probably going to be very fresh. Dellavedova had some cramping, actually had to go to the hospital after game three, and he didn't have his greatest game, but he's going to be fresh. Schumper's got the bad shoulder, so he's probably going to feel a little bit better. So, you know, at the same time, I think it's great for the Warriors, too. I mean, they haven't had any injuries, but it's still, we're deep into June now, and there has to be some fatigue. So the fact that they're going to be fresh should make for a hell of a game.
Where do the Cavaliers stay out here? I thought maybe we'd see LeBron at a Giants game.
Good question. I don't know where I don't even know if they stay in Oakland or San Francisco.
I think they stay in San Francisco. It's the St.
Yeah.
Regis. I think they stay at the St. Regis, not to expose them.
No,
but there's always a line of
there's
always a line of people that hang out there behind the cattle gates looking for autographs. I do think Dellavedova was here. I think he's come to one of the Giants games.
Did he? Okay.
So
that would be interesting. All right. Hey, Bruce, Michael Broadway. You got to see him yesterday. How'd you like that?
No, it's tremendous. I mean, comes out throwing 96, 97, tremendous slider, just, you know, breaking sharply down and right around the ankles, you know. I mean, it's the thing that surprises me is that he's 28 and he's been around so long. I mean, he must have had some terrible command issues in the past, but, you know, he was throwing strikes and got through that inning with dispatch. I mean, the notion of Broadway and Strickland coming out of your bullpen, you know, as strong as it was already, I don't know where you find room for all these guys, but it's very encouraging.
Yeah, and there's more coming.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Cody Hall is down there. We saw him. Okert is down there. I guess maybe Alex was on this morning explaining with this starting staff, this bullpen is on a pace. I mean, Contos has been in 30 games already. We're not even at the halfway mark. You know, we've got 98 to go, Pat? 98 to go. They're going to need reinforcements. There's no question in my mind. And the more power that comes up, the more transition we're going to see in this bullpen.
Yeah, they're not quite as built as strongly for complete games as they were when, you know, Kane, Bumgarner, and Lindstrom are all going strong. You know, Bumgarner wants to go deep and will be allowed to, and will get a lot of slack, and he should. But, you know, the other guys, you're not figuring they're going to get into the eighth inning. And when Kane and Peavy, if they come back, you probably wouldn't expect them to go terribly deep, at least right away. So, yeah, it's going to be quite a burden out there. But, you know, the depth that they have is probably going to save them. And I would never expect, Bochy and Rigetti and Mark Gardner to overwork these guys. I mean, they'll do it, let's put it this way, they'll do everything possible to give everybody a sensible workload.
I can see the extra man in the rotation at some point. I never thought I'd say it, but I can see it at some point. if Kane comes back strong and they still have all these guys pitching.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is a big start for Heston today. Obviously, everybody knows how good he is. But if he throws another great game, I mean, there's just no possible way you can take him out of there. And no. I think Kane and Peavy are pitching tomorrow and Tuesday night, respectively, right. In Sacramento, right? That would be a good time to spend a couple days up there, by the way.
Yeah. You know, for Peavy, I want to see him do something good. You know, whether it's spring training, when you and I were there, or the beginning of the season, or the rehab,
something.
He's yet to do anything. I mean, anything.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
got to do something that says, okay, I'm back. And Kane was sort of seeing that, but Peavy were not. So that may play itself out. I wanted to mention one of your colleagues, Peter Hartlob.
Bruce, awesome.
He
awesome.
Does something every Sunday. He does a retrospective on San Francisco history.
Terrific.
And like what you do on your side of sports. But he had one today about the banking industry I found just fascinating about the origin of the Bank of America with the Giannini family and all that. So I wanted to shout out to him a little bit, and I know you enjoy his stuff, so I just wanted to mention it to you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's done some terrific sports research, you know, digging up some of the great names of guys who came out of the city, some names you may not be aware of. You know, it's such a rich history in all sports, and that's a great, great weekly feature. I mean, the more sports for me, the better. Although I can get into the banking aspect as well.
We like money.
We do. I've always kind of liked
Adam
money.
Sandler. I like money. I like working with money. I'm qualified for this job.
Hey, and gents, we have an update on where the Cavs are staying.
Okay.
My spies say they're at the Four Seasons, so if you want to go say hello and get an autograph from David Blatt, that's where you would go. Hey, Bruce, I want to ask you about some of these prospects, these number one prospects. I can't remember a season in which all these incredibly star-studded prospects have hit the bigs. I mean, Chris Bryant with the Cubs, and he's lived up to it thus far. Of course, you had the kid down with the Rangers, Gallo, and Carlos Correa with the Astros coming out like a rock star this year. And now Byron Buxton, the 5'2" center fielder for the Twins, makes his debut today. Can you remember a year with all these game changers coming up at once? Can you remember a year like this?
I go back to 64 when Richie Allen and Jim Ray Hart were in the Antonio Oliva, we're all rookies in the bigs. There were a couple other guys.
Okay.
I always like to follow the Keith Law and Baseball America and the people who keep track of the minors. So these are names you've been hearing for like 3 years now. Lindor is another one.
Yep.
And it seems like all of them who have come up are just as advertised.
Yep.
You know, Addison Russell looks fantastic for the Cubs, but I mean. You know, you got Gallo and Bryant hitting the deep ball. Correa is a great shortstop. I think that's what they say about Lindor as well. And Buxton is just sounds like the second coming as a center fielder. I think he's still playing center. Yeah. He's had some injuries, but he's up with the Twins now. So it is great. I mean, I really can't recall anything in recent years. I haven't given it a lot of thought, but it just strikes you as unusual. There's an unusual amount of great prospects coming up. It's terrific to see.
And the youth around baseball, I mean, mix in our guy in Washington, Bryce Harper, and he's, what, 22? There's a lot of youth around baseball. I think the game's in a good position going forward.
Oh, it's great. You know, you always hear about the games, you know, the kids aren't playing it or the fans aren't interested, the kids don't like it. It's all complete nonsense. It really is. It's an eternally great game. The kids are always into it. There's always good players coming up. The kids are playing baseball in America. And there's an uptick in the African-American participation as well.
Yep.
So it is a very good time for the game.
I had the pleasure of sitting with Orlando Cepeda yesterday. He was out at the ballpark. And I was just thinking what you guys were just saying and think of Cepeda as a rookie. He was like Mike Trout. I mean, when Cepeda came in as a rookie, you look at his rookie line, what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And that's kind of the players we're seeing today. Will they be Hall of Famers? Who knows? But they have that kind of impact on the game.
Well, they're just spectacular. I mean, Correa immediately made a great play for the Astros. You know, Bryant comes up, and before long, he's starting to jack home runs. Joey Gallo, it took him about 5 minutes to hit a tape measure homer. these guys are really, really good.
Yeah.
And Buxton, he seems like a can't-miss kind of guy. So it's terrific. You know what also is interesting? From Las Vegas alone, you've got Harper, Bryant, and Gallo.
Really?
And now this kid, this long-haired pitcher, Bickford, the Giants drafted, is from Vegas. What the hell's going on down there?
Really? Well, is there another McCovey? another maze. You know, we're just blessed with those guys, the Marischals. So it's great to see it, but, you know, you have to have your career and see where it is when it's all over, and that's what baseball's all about.
And it would really be nice to see the Giants draft and develop and bring up one of these really, really special guys. You know, they've got an awful lot of success, you know, Panic and Susak and Heston and on down the line. And
Posey.
And Posey. Let's put it this way. Another Posey, another guy who's really, really elite, you know, who you could make an argument this guy's the best, you know, at what he does in the game.
An athlete.
So that'd be something to look forward to.
Yeah, an athlete.
Right.
Exactly.
Because we're talking about athletes here.
Correct, yeah.
You know. Hey, great to have you with us. I know you're going to enjoy the game today. Any prediction on today?
I think the Warriors, I got to go with the Warriors. I think they discovered a few things in the last game. They're fresh. They owe the home fans one of those vintage performances we really haven't seen in a while at home. So I look for the Warriors fairly comfortably tonight.
Yeah, I like the Warriors with Livingston starting. I like that.
Ooh, that would be a shakeup. Livingston over Curry. There you go.
Right. All right. I'll look forward to your column, Bruce. Thanks again.
Right on,
Thanks
Bruce.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Care.